Good morning, and thank you for joining me on the Path to Liberty. This is the Fast Friday edition of the show for December 13th, 2019. Nullification season 2020 is getting underway, and today I'm going to share with you the latest news from the states. We're covering bills to protect the Second Amendment, take on the NSA and other mass warrantless surveillance programs, end asset forfeiture. There's both a state and a federal asset forfeiture program, the Defend the Guard Act, and depending on time, maybe even a little bit more. But first of all, before getting to that, my name is Michael Bolden. We broadcast live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time from here in my home office and studio in downtown Los Angeles for the 10th Amendment Center. We have video versions plus an audio-only podcast edition. You can find all of the channels that we're on. I think there's like 8 video platforms and at least 5 podcast ones. You can find all of those platforms, all of our social media channels, the ways to subscribe, like get our newsletter, follow the show, support us through our membership program for as little as $2 a month, all of our archives, important links that I mention in each episode in the show notes. Find all of that stuff over at the show's homepage. That's over at 10thamendmentcenter.com/path to liberty. Again, 10thamendmentcenter.com/path to liberty, all spelled out. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I'm really grateful for you spending a little of your Friday or whenever you happen to be listening or watching the show with me today. But I promise not to take up too much of your time because it's the Fast Friday edition. Let's see if I can get this done in about 10 to 15 minutes. I'm just going to go through all of the legislation. First of all, we're going to talk about the right to keep and bear arms and protecting the Second Amendment from federal abuse, which there is quite a bit on the state level. First of all, a bill report from Mike Meharry that we published just a few days ago on the 10th. Missouri bills take on federal gun control past, present, future. This is Senate Bill 588 from Senator Eric Burleson and House Bill 1637 from Representative Jared Taylor. In Mike's report, it's titled the Second Amendment Preservation Act. The legislation would ban any person, including any public officer or employee of the state and its political subdivisions. Political subdivisions are local governments within a state and other entities that are created by the state, from enforcing any past, present, or future federal acts, laws, executive orders, administrative orders, court orders, rules, or regulations that infringe on the right to keep and bear arms. And our good friend Ron Calzone over at Missouri First, I know that he is going to be pushing hard to get this legislation passed this year. We've been working on it for a number of years, and I think there's enough momentum to get it over the top this year. Now, what I like about the legislation is that they give a number of examples in the specific bill of what qualifies as an infringement, but it says specifically including but not limited to, for example, taxes and fees on firearms, accessories, or ammunition, registration and tracking schemes, any act forbidding possession, ownership, use, or transfer of a firearm, firearm accessory, or ammunition, any act ordering the confiscation of firearms, accessories, and ammunition. So they list a number of examples. Those are some four primary ones that we've included from the legislation in this report. And Mike points out that under this proposed law, and that's Mike Meharry, infringement on the right to keep and bear arms would include things like the National Firearms Act of 1934, the Gun Control Act of 1968, President Trump's bump stock ban, proposed federal red flag laws, and any future gun control, federal gun control schemes implemented in Washington, D.C. This is a very important bill. If you support it, if you live in Missouri, you definitely want to call your state senator and your state representative and tell them that you support and want to see them co-sponsor at this point Senate Bill 588 and House Bill 1637. Now, there's a similar bill in Oklahoma. I've only had a chance to skim it. Hopefully, we'll be able to get it published pretty soon. A full report and analysis from Representative David Hardin. This is House Bill 2781, the Oklahoma Second Amendment Preservation Act. Their pre-filing time comes pretty early. The legislative session doesn't start until February 3rd, so we're going to have a little bit of time. We'll probably get this published sometime today or maybe early next week. But if you're in Oklahoma, everything that I've seen in this bill so far has been very good. But I think Meharry is going to give it a closer look as well before we run the article. So for now, House Bill 2781 call your state representative, ask them to co-sponsor and support that bill in Oklahoma. Next up, we're talking about asset forfeiture. First of all, in New Hampshire, House Bill 1192 from three Republican state representatives would, quote, prohibit any state, county, or municipal law enforcement agency or prosecuting authority from entering into an agreement to transfer seized property to a federal agency directly or indirectly by adoption. Basically, they're opting out of the federal equitable sharing program for all asset forfeiture proceedings of $100,000 or less. Now, I would like to see it for every amount, but we know from research in some other areas, most prominently in Colorado, that over 85% of all forfeiture proceedings come from the amount of $50,000 or less. So this would be a huge step forward dealing with the federal equitable sharing program. New Hampshire would opt out of a vast majority of it if it passed House Bill 1192. And here from the Institute for Justice, we see that New Hampshire currently ranks 16th in federal forfeiture, where they've pulled in about $15 million. Now, if we could cut back 50% of that, that would be a very positive step forward for New Hampshire. But if this bill were to pass, I'm thinking it's somewhere between 80 and 90% opting out of that unconstitutional federal program. Again, that's House Bill 1192. Now, in Arizona, they've already taken that step in previous years where they've passed a piece of legislation to withdraw from a vast majority of the federal equitable sharing program. And the logical next follow-up is to shut down the state civil asset forfeiture program and require criminal convictions before anything can be confiscated or kept. And Representative John Fillmore filed House Bill 2032 last month. And this, again, from Mike Meharry, who's doing almost all the reporting on these bills these days. Under the proposed law, Arizona prosecutors would not be able to proceed with the asset forfeiture process without a criminal conviction. And that is a huge step forward should it pass in Arizona. Next up, we're talking about mass warrantless surveillance. And just last week, the Michigan Senate, they're in a full two-year session, so they're around the clock. They're around the calendar in Michigan. Senate Bill 341 was filed earlier this year by Senator Peter Lucido. It's called the Electronic Information and Data Privacy Act. It would help block the use of cell site simulators. You've heard me talk about these things called Stingray devices. That's a brand name from the Harris Corporation of a cell site simulator. Basically, what it does is it spoofs a cell phone tower and it tricks every cell phone within a given area into first connecting to the Stingray device, and then it seamlessly patches it through to the cell tower. So that allows the law enforcement or the government agent to collect location and data information on every cell phone within a particular range. It's very granular, very detailed, very specific, and it's very good at getting this kind of information, location and the like. And so basically people are being surveilled for the mere crime of walking around or driving around and owning a cell phone. And that is a total violation of someone's natural right to privacy. If we're talking about the federal constitution, the Fourth Amendment, if we're talking about the state constitution, almost every state has some version of that in their own state constitution. And so this actually passed out of the state Senate, banning it in almost all situations. Again, a very positive step forward in Michigan. It passed by a vote of 6-1 out of the Senate Public Safety Committee in October, and then last week, this month, sometime, I think it was like December 5th, maybe, the full Senate passed it by a vote of 35-1. It now goes to the State House, where it has to go through a committee hearing, and a process has to pass out of that committee before the full House can concur and potentially send it to the governor. We would definitely want to see Senate Bill 341 pass in Michigan. Back in Missouri, we've got Representative Ron Hicks, who files a lot of good bills over each year. And this one, House Bill 1605, the Fourth Amendment Protection Act. I'm not sure if that's the exact title, but basically when we push this out, we're talking about protecting the Fourth Amendment on the state level, not participating in mass warrantless surveillance. And this bill would ban material support or resources, and that is specifically in the legislation. It's actually language that's been lifted from the Patriot Act, but flipped around on government. And it would ban the use of any type of material support or resources for warrantless federal surveillance programs. And in this report from Meharry, he says this is an essential step every state needs to take at a time when the federal government seems unlikely to ever end unconstitutional spying on its own. For those of you who've watched episodes recently, I've covered the Patriot Act, its follow-up, the fact that it doesn't matter who's in charge or which political party is running things in Washington, D.C., they continue to extend and expand and renew these unconstitutional surveillance authorities, and the courts are not good on it either. So very positive. A similar law was passed and is in effect in Michigan. We have a first step towards this in effect here in California. So Missouri could be the second and a half state to have actually taken this step, and we'd like to see many, many others. And then also on surveillance, back to New Hampshire, there's a bill, House Bill 1580, which would severely restrict warrantless surveillance through drones. And that, I think, is a positive step forward as well. And then finally, I want to talk about the Defend the Guard Act. I've done an entire episode on this recently, so I won't get into too many details. I'll include the link to that episode in the show notes over at 10thAmendmentCenter.com/path-to-liberty, so you can get all the details. Basically, it would require, if it's passed, it would require the state to withhold, to reject and block deployments of state-level National Guard troops to foreign theaters of war without a declaration of war from Congress as required by the Constitution. This is very straightforward stuff that the founders said had to be done. And we mentioned, or I covered in that episode, that at least 20 states are expected to file the legislation this year. We now have the first two. First of all, in South Carolina, Representative Stuart Jones last month filed the South Carolina Defend the Guard Act, House Bill 4728. And then just a couple of days ago, we see that Senator Nathan Dom filed Senate Bill 1101 in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Defend the Guard Act as well. So you definitely want to follow up on that. Check out that entire episode to see what you can do to support this effort in your own state. In general, anytime you see a piece of legislation that you think is good, just go get the link to it from our website. You'll find all of these in the show notes at 10thAmendmentCenter.com/path-to-liberty. And all of these reports, like here, if you're watching on video, I say the report says Senator Nathan Dom pre-filed Senate Bill 1101, and then it says SB 1101. That's clickable. It'll take you right to the legislation, and you can grab a link to that and send it to your own state representative and state senator and say, hey, I'd like you to file a bill like this. Take a look at it. Let me know what you're thinking. So on all these pieces of legislation, even if you're not in the particular state that I'm talking about, they're great examples of things that you can support in your own area. Well, I hope you guys found this informational. I hope you learned something. More importantly than even learning something on this episode, I hope you find the tools to take action to support the Constitution and liberty in your own state. We're going to be doing a lot of reports like this in the next few months as the legislative sessions in the states really ramp up between January and about April. So as we have news, bills filed, bills moving forward, action alerts, I will definitely do more and more episodes like this. And I may do some spontaneous live streams on important issues as they come up as well. Again, thank you for spending some time with me. If you like this show, you like this episode, you like what we're doing, make sure to smash that like button, subscribe on places like YouTube, reviews on the podcast edition, iTunes, and elsewhere. All that stuff really helps us out because it tells the algorithm of the platform that you're on to show the program to more people. And if you really love what we're doing, you're welcome to join our membership program. We really appreciate it. We make a few bucks go a long, long way, and our memberships start as little as $2 a month. Again, thank you for watching. Thank you for spending some time with me today. I hope you have a great weekend, and I'll see you next week here on the Path to Liberty.